If you're a modem user and you live in the United States, now you can have quality, reliable internet access and support ACB radio at the same time. Easy Access USA gives you flat rate 56K internet access, two email accounts, and Usenet news groups for only $19.95 a month. And every month, $4 of that great price goes to ACB Radio, so we can keep bringing you your favorite shows and expanding our service. So don't delay. Switch today to Easy Access USA. Surf on over now to www.easyaccessusa.net. That's www.easyaccessusa.net. Or if you'd rather sign up over the phone, call them toll-free at 866-835-7872. That's 866-835-7872 between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Easy Access USA and ACB Radio, working together to bring you the best.
May have gotten thoroughly bored with him, as a matter of fact, but it does give me great pleasure to introduce to you the incoming president of the American Council of the Blind, Mr. Christopher Gray.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here. Great to not be campaigning. That's the best thing in the world. I want to stand and in a similar vein to that shared by First Vice President of ACB and someone who will be a great contributor to ACB, make a toast to all the great things that have happened so far, and many of those great things, Brian, I know that you have been a big part of, and we thank you for that very, very much. And for all things in the future that I know that you'll be involved in and want to be involved in, this is what ACB is. We're heading for the future, and let's raise our glasses and drink to that, and at the same time celebrate the whole organization.
Thank you, Christopher. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you I'm not sure I heard that, but don't repeat it, please. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have heard about ACB Radio, but I bet there are a lot of people in this room who have never heard ACB Radio. Am I right? How many people have heard ACB Radio? How many people have not heard ACB Radio? Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, to provide the entertainment for this evening, I give you ACB Radio.
ACBRadio.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the beautiful Polk County Convention Center in downtown Des Moines, Iowa, broadcasting live on the internet through the worldwide facilities of ACB Radio Mainstream, this is an information superhighway home companion. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Mosen.
Good evening. This is Des Moines, Iowa, giving a warm ACB welcome to the world. We want to tell the world that we in ACB are feeling good about ourselves right now because we are 40 years old, and they say that life begins at 40. See, I haven't even lived yet. And so, in the spirit of the goodwill that exists at this happy, happy birthday banquet time, I'm delighted to tell you that we've been successful in obtaining a government grant for this show to be broadcast, complete with full audio description, on NFB television.
No!
And we're never going back. We have a star-studded lineup to bring you tonight on an information superhighway home companion, and some of these people would like to be here but can't. Well, thanks to the marvels of internet technology, we can bring them to you via the internet. First, come in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello, everybody. This is Ronnie Millsap in Nashville. I wish I could be there in person with you tonight at the big banquet, but I'm playing shows this week out on the road. Happy 40th birthday to the American Council of the Blind. Our organization just keeps getting bigger and better. The American Council of the Blind continues to speak out for the blind and create mainstream awareness of our needs and our dreams. As a blind adult, I want nothing more than to have the equal opportunity to work and achieve everything of which I'm capable. The American Council of the Blind is all about the members, all about people. Over the years, I have had the pleasure of coming to the convention a couple of times, and those are treasured memories. The meetings were very friendly, positive, and productive. I wish to thank my friend Jonathan Mosen from New Zealand for playing this message tonight. Among the many things that Jonathan does, he is one fantastic broadcaster. He runs the American Council of the Blind's internet radio station at acbradio.org. The programs on ACB Radio are very exciting and informative. There are programs about the leading edge of technology and other programs that are more about the essential things going on in our everyday lives. ACB Radio is truly out of sight. Thanks, ACB, for all the good work that you do. You folks have a lot of fun in Des Moines. And again, happy 40th birthday.
So I'll close this note to you with good luck and wishes too. Happy, happy birthday, baby.
You know,
Hi, I'm Marlena.
Oh, Marlena, you have to wait your turn. You know, I went into dinner one night and said to my wife, "Do you know who I was talking to on the telephone this afternoon?" She said, "Who?" I said, "Ronnie Millsap." She said, "Yeah." And the Queen phoned me up too. But actually, it was Ronnie, and it was wonderful. ACB Radio gives blind musicians a worldwide audience through the ACB Radio Cafe. One of the nice things about a station like this is that some of the music reflects our unique experiences as blind people. And the song that we're about to hear performed live is a beautiful, insightful, moving reflection on blindness and how it affects or doesn't affect relationships. Its composer and performer is a talented recording engineer, a host on ACB Radio Interactive, and of course, an outstanding lyricist and musician. With a song called "Wish You Could See," here is Greg Brayton.
Hi, folks. I just want to let you know that it is just a fantastic opportunity to be here and share this banquet with you all. I wrote this song for my boys about 10 years ago. My boys were precious. Now they're teenagers. And they're good kids, you know. They're good kids. But there's something about little children. I remember one time I was pitching batting practice to them, getting them ready for their little league experience. And, of course, I remember I used to be the all-time pitcher for the neighborhood softball, baseball, whatever, because, of course, I didn't do so well swinging at the pitches. And one time a comebacker kind of hit me in the nose, and I played less often. Sally, my wife, in her infinite wisdom, said, "Honey, go out there and pitch batting practice to those little boogers." And so that's what I did. And I had a glove in my left hand and a baseball in my right hand, and I'd throw that baby in there, and the boys would take a whack at it. And my right hand would go up just instinctively to cover my face, you know, because I didn't really want that pain again. And my left hand, with the glove, instinctively went below the, And because it was necessary, you know. I mean, and why my wife even said, make sure. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So finally, my oldest boy, Spencer, says, Dad, that looks really funny. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. I won't hit you. I know where I'm going to hit the ball, and I won't hit you. And I said, okay. So I pitched that baby in there, and with all the fortitude I could muster, I put my right hand to my side. Fortunately, my left hand had a mind of its own. And the ball went co-whack right into the glove. And Spencer says, wow, Dad. He goes, good thing you had your hand there, huh? So, you know, we have those moments in time that we'll just never forget. And it's just an awesome thing to be a dad to a couple little boys and now a couple wild and crazy teenagers. And sometimes I'd tuck them in at night and they'd say, Dad, didn't happen very often, but every now and then they'd say, we wish you could see. And I tried to explain to them that whether or not I could see doesn't make any difference in how happy I am to be their daddy. You know, how much love we have, how much fun we have. We did all kinds of neat stuff together. We rode bikes, we played goalball, we played baseball, football, you name it, we played it, you know. And now we play, Dad, where's the money? But it was a wonderful time in my life, and I'll never forget the opportunities I had to be with those little guys, and it gave me the idea for this song. Dad, we wish you could sleep. Sometimes my boys will say it. Don't hear it often, no, but still something they'll say. Just what would life be? They think it might be better. I could drive them wherever they'd like to go. Spend money all day. But we'd have adventures and lots of fun together. And when Mom's at work, we'll take the bus. Well, maybe that part would change. But what would be different about the way we love each other? I'd still have to drive you to the doctors and to school. I could drive you to the store, but we'd still have rules. I bet it might be the same. And we wish you could see. Sometimes my friends will tell me, I don't hear it often, no, but still, it's something they'll say. Just how would life be? They admit they might feel better if they knew I could see all they see and never have to wonder if I'm losing my way. But then I'll remind them of times we lost our way together. It was me who went and flagged that policeman down, and I only told him your name. How would it change the way we care about one another? You'd still be wondering if I'm all right, driving in that bad weather late at night. I bet it might be the same. Oh, I'll bet it might be the same. And I know I'd still call on Jesus. My life would be real. estranged, but I really do believe that the feelings in my heart were what I know would be the same if I could see. I wish you could see. My wife has never said it. I know she might have thought it once or twice, but it's not something she'll say. She doesn't believe our lives would be so much different. She knows there'd still be times when I'd do my share of chores, times I'd lazily play. Would we still be happy in the days we laughed together? I know we'd still be blessed by love and joy, even tested by pain. Would there be something new about the way we love each other? No, we'd still be amazed at how glad we are that together the Lord's let us grow so far. I bet it might be the same. Oh, oh, and the more I think about it, I just know it would be the same.
Thank you very much.
Good, great, ladies and gentlemen.
Good job.
Thanks, buddy. Wow.
Yes, just before I left for the United States, my daughter Heidi, who is 5, said, "When I grow up, I'm going to marry you, Daddy." Long may it last. All right, this is an information superhighway home companion on ACB Radio, broadcasting live from Des Moines, Iowa. Tonight, I was to have a co-host. She's funny, warm, vivacious, and very popular on ACB Radio. But a couple of weeks before this convention began, Marlene Lieberg had to go to hospital urgently. She's recovering now, but can't be with us tonight. But through internet technology, she can say a few words. Here's Marlene.
Hi, I'm Marlene Lieberg. I'm the host of two shows on ACB Radio, one on the mainstream link called Blind Spot, and the other on the interactive link called The Softer Side. My health prevented me from being with you this year, but it doesn't prevent me from finding a way to say, "Happy birthday, ACB! What a party!" I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone next year in Houston, but between now and then, if you've got a second, why don't you go to www.acbradio.org and check out one of my shows, either Blind Spot on the mainstream link or The Softer Side on the interactive link. Until Houston, bye for now. From Marlena and little guide dog Madeline.
Good on you, Marlena. Now I'm very proud to introduce someone who has also seen his fair share of the inside of a hospital lately, and we're mighty glad that he's here at this year's convention. Here's something to get your toes a-tapping and your hands a-clapping from Alan Beatty.
All right. Some of you that didn't make the FIA showcase the other night, you know, this is a famous song that everybody loves, and I performed it at that performance, and everybody just said, "You gotta do it more. You just gotta do it." So here we are again with the good old Mississippi Squirrel Revival. Alright. Well, when I was a kid, we'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi to visit my granny and her antebellum world.
Well, we'd run barefoot all day long, free as the breeze and singing a song. One day I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Yeah. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple of holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him into church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh, when that squirrel got loose and went totally berserk. Well, what happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, others thought it was hell. The fact that something among us was plain to see. As the choir sang I Surrender All, that squirrel ran up Harv Newman's coveralls. Harv leaped to his feet and said, "Something's got a hold on me." Woo! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Now Harv hit the floor dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his food of the looms. As he dropped to his knees to plead and beg, that squirrel ran up the bridge's leg unobserved to the other side of the room. Well, all the way down to the Amen pew, where sat Sister Bertha, better than you, who'd been watching all this commotion with sadistic glee. But you should have seen the look in her eye when a squirrel jumped her garter and crossed her thighs. She jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." As that squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess to sins that would make a sailor blush with shame. She talked of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention, she started talking about her love life, and she started naming names. The squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Now 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $45,000 got raised. 25 volunteered for missions in the Congo. Without any further invitations, there were at least 500 rededications. We all got baptized, whether we needed it or not. Now you've heard the Bible stories, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass. Oh, the miracles that God has wrought in this old world. But the one I'll remember till my dying day is how he put that church back on a narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. Here we go. The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ellen Beatty. Of course, we can't do our home companion show, even if it's an information superhighway home companion, without the news. And given that most of us in this room are blind or low vision, our news is from Lake Ibegon. And, but wait, there's more. Here to present it is one of the most talented people I have ever met. He's a musician, a production genius, and a cutting satirist. Please welcome the man we on ACB Radio know as the Snowman, Iowa's own Jim Snowbagger.
Turned on the snowman.
I think I heard a jingle in the background there, didn't I?
You want it again?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll give it
again. I can't get started without
the
that.
Snowman.
There it is. See, I know he's just trying to get me wound up. It's a... For those of you who haven't heard the Snowman Show, that's the one of our little jingle things that I've heard 60,000 times. And now I'm conditioned just like a Pavlovian dog. When I hear that, I talk.
You've turned on the snowman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lake Ibegon. The news that is not new here is... I hope you're having a great convention, just like I am. Maybe even better. Twice as good? Oh, good. You know, every time I'm around one of these things, I realize, well, on Friday night, I'm a little sick of it. But it's nothing I won't be over by next year. You know, it's been a pleasure running into many of you. Actually, quite literally in many occasions. Because conventions are like that, aren't they? Somewhere amid the crossing of canes and the clasping of hands and the exchanges of dog saliva. Deals are made and friendships are born and plans are conceived. You did that. I didn't. But you know, one of the great things about this this whole deal... see, I'm supposed to be funny tonight. That's my purpose in life. But being thought-provoking is something I can't help. I wish being funny was something I couldn't help. Just isn't... Anyway, one of the things I like best about the convention is that we live in our individual worlds, you know, pretty much most of us surrounded by sighted people, living their protocol, doing things the way they want things done. This is the one week out of the year where we get to swarm over the hotel, change it into our culture, and do it our way. Hot damn, and it's a good time, too. I love it. Makes me feel good. And, you know, it arguably one of the most important things that we do, even though we're here conceiving political strategies and designing programs and proposals and all of the stuff that you know we always do, we're actually communicating with the public at the same time. And the hotel staff sort of gets their education, don't they? And I don't know about you, but I think the staff has done a great job this year. Absolutely, and that would also include the volunteers that have learned a lot from us. And the carts, you bet. They're volunteers too, aren't they? Well, the all right, should we mention anybody else here while we're at it? All the convention center staff, everybody that's been involved, we all thank, and we're glad that they're with us. And the good thing about it is that we have actually taught them a lot about us and the fact that we're just real people with all the hopes and dreams that they have and that we're different as individuals. We have varying capacities. So that's an exciting thing to me. And... something that I look forward to doing. The thing is, when you step out to educate like that, some terrible things can happen to you. Are we talking about mistakes here, you know? Are we talking about royal screw-ups or just plain serendipitous bad luck? It's the kind of stuff that can happen and scare you to death. Well, let me just tell you, if you don't want anything bad to ever happen to you, any embarrassing things like that, I recommend that you lean forward right now and grab the underside of your chair and hold on tight. And don't move. Don't say anything. Don't even breathe. Otherwise, stuff is going to happen. The key, and I didn't say the other S word either. You were thinking it, weren't you? I know you were. Otherwise, it's going to take place, and the key, I think, is to figure out how to reduce the cost in your own mind. Figure out how you can survive that kind of stuff, and when I'm done here tonight, I'll walk away and probably trip over the microphone cable and pull it down, and you can watch me demonstrate how to do that. But I think part of the strategy for doing that is to realize that when it's all over and you've had this horrible thing happen, you're still the same person you were before. You know? You bet you got everything that you brought to the table before. It's all still there, and eventually you'll forget about this and regain the fantasy that you're actually a fine person. The other thing is to realize that it's potentially a very good story. And 5 years from now, a little bit of forgetfulness, perhaps a tad of embellishment for dramatic license, and make a really good story. So I thought it would be kind of fun to dig back into the past and recount some of the stories that I had heard about our forefathers, the founders of the movement. And I think I actually have several that amuse me and I'd like to relate to you, but Mr. Mosen kept reducing the amount of time. Every time I saw him today, it was less. 20 minutes, man. Next time I'd see him, 15 minutes, man. Oh, man, we got lots of people. 10 minutes, man. Next time I saw him, he opened his mouth and I said, "Shut up, man." Just pot me down when you can't stand anymore. How's that? This is perhaps the first story I think I heard of this kind. And I'm pretty sure this happened before the Civil War. So we don't know if this is a former council official or just some old Federationist that I'm going to talk about. Well, they're thick-skinned. They don't mind. Let's go ahead and pretend it's one of them. Oh, I didn't say that. Anyway, the tale has it that this gentleman was a graduate student in one of our fine, vaunted institutes of higher learning, and it came his assignment to make a speech. And being a true Federationist, it was gonna be a barn burner. Oh, man. He was going to talk about the long white cane and how you could travel independently and safely. And he was going to talk about acquiring alternative techniques, about the importance of training and how we could do all of the jobs that sighted people could do. And he got it all packed in there. He wrote it down. He had his Braille manuscript all typed out there, and he was ready to go. The problem was that this speech required passion. It required a particular delivery, a rhythm, and he had to practice to get this just right because he really wanted to make an impression. And practicing in his room just wasn't working out. For one thing, his roommate was kind of sick of hearing it 60 times over. Okay, man, I get the idea. And it wouldn't do to practice outside. No, this had to be done in a lecture hall. He needed the acoustics. He needed lots of empty seats to bounce his words back at him. And so he grabbed his long white and he went striding down the hall of his Institute of Higher Learning, accessing the facilities, looking for an empty lecture hall. Nope, that one's full. No, that one's full too. Ah, here's one. Yep, it's quiet. So he strides confidently through the door and marches up to the dais, throws his long white cane down on the floor, stomps on it. Damn seeing eye snakes never can be taught to stay. He owns the place. He whops his Braille manuscript down on the lectern, swiping the microphone in the process, and rears his shoulders back and gets ready to launch into this baby. He says, you have to do that part, because if you don't sound good, it really blows your confidence and just ruins everything. And he launched into it. And he was rocking, man. He was getting down through there, and it was going good, and he was buzzing, feeling good. And all of a sudden, he dyslexified. He said something inappropriate. As a matter of fact, it was exactly the opposite of what he intended to say. That went down slightly crooked. Damn it, he said. Damn it, I just can't get this. Back to the top. It will not do to go back to the beginning of this paragraph. Now you got to get the rhythm right, you know? You got to go all the way back down through there, because you can't make a mistake. And he's buzzing along the second time. And you know the second time is going to screw up too, don't you? Because stories are always like that. It's the third time where the funny stuff happens. Okay. So he screwed up again, and this time he was really PO'd, and he launched into a string of expletives that would make Richard Nixon blanch. Went back to the top and started down through there again. And he had it. He was coming up to the finish line, the big, big finish where he makes the real point that sticks and stays with you and resonates in your mind for the next year. And during a particularly pregnant pause, when he was just getting the right effect, he heard a step on the dais behind him, and a finger tapped him on the shoulder, and a voice whispered in his ear, sir, we're trying to take a test in here. And that's the news from Lake Abegon, where the women are men. My time's up. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
I know why the thing doesn't work. Take a commercial. This is ACB Radio.
Yeah, we can't play commercials on here. Okay, I'm now wandering around with the roving microphone. I should also tell you while I'm doing that. Gee, so down, Jay. I'm a lot heavier than you. Shortly, we are going to make an important announcement about ACB Radio Interactive, and for that, ACB Radio Interactive will be joining us, and then we'll be on two streams, because as Shakespeare said, two streams are better than one. Now, our next participant in an information superhighway home companion is someone who actually does need an introduction. So I'll introduce him. He is a compassionate person. He seems to have endless patience, and he seems to survive on copious amounts of coffee and absolutely no sleep. He cares passionately about the blind and visually impaired. Oh, I nearly forgot. He also happens to be the outgoing president of the American Council of the Blind. It's interesting that we're getting together to do this because he's got nothing to lose, and he knows that I can't play the piano, and that compensates for the fact that he can't sing. So, for a very rare vocal performance, please give a rapturous ACB welcome to Paul Edwards!
Hello, hello. Oh, that's the right name.
Okay, let's try this.
All right. About a maid, I'll sing a song, sing rickety tickety tin. About a maid, I'll sing a song, who sort of did her family wrong. Not only did she do them wrong, but she did every one of them in. Then she did every one of them in. She drowned her father in the creek, sing rickety tickety tin.
She drowned her father in the creek. Wasn't very nice for her to do it, and in fact the water tasted bad for a week. And we had to make do with gin. With gin. We had to make do with gin. She set her sister's hair on fire, sing rickety-tickety-tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flames rose higher, she danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, violin, playing a violin. She weighted her brother down with stone, sing rickety-tickety-tin. She weighted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. And all they ever found were some bones. And occasional pieces of skin. Of skin. Occasional pieces of skin. She cut her baby brother in two, sing rickety-tickety-tin. She cut her baby brother in two, which wasn't a very nice thing to do, and served him up as an Irish stew. And invited the neighbors in. Burrs in. Invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, sing rickety-tickety-tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. For to do so, she would have had to lie. And lying, she knew, was a sin, a sin. And lying, she knew, was a sin. Now, if you have not enjoyed my song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. Now, if you have not enjoyed my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. Yes, it's all your fault if it's too long. You should never have let me begin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. We'll phone you. Yeah, you're listening to an Information Superhighway Home Companion broadcasting on ACB Radio Mainstream. And now we would like to welcome listeners to ACB Radio Interactive. Welcome to Iowa. Thank you for that face-saving round of applause while I get back to my buttons. Yes. Let me just swap microphones here.
Where's the other one?
It's all too technical. There we go. Makes you wonder. All right. ACB Radio, that's not the piece of... This is like the president's address all over again. So I'm using the other technology. Right. We've been telling people on ACB Radio Interactive and our ACB Radio email lists to expect a special announcement, and that time has now come. One of the wonderful aspects of ACB Radio Interactive is the huge variety of music that we broadcast. People who listen to ACB Radio Interactive enjoy a wide variety of music, and we want to encourage you to listen longer. We also want to give you, thanks to the kind folks at JGM Affordable Computers, an AMD Thunderbird 900 megahertz computer with 128 megs of RAM and a 20 gigabyte hard drive, a Sound Blaster Live so you can listen to software speech and ACB radio at the same time, a 52-speed CD-ROM drive. It's network-ready, and it has a 56K modem. And it could be yours if you listen to ACB Radio Interactive. All you have to do is listen to hear our megabytes. Each week, over the next 8 weeks, we'll regularly be playing a montage of music. There'll be a new montage every week. The montage will consist of 8 songs, and all you have to do is email the names of the songs you think you know to contest@acbradio.org. The person or persons who gets the most songs right each week will go into the draw for the computer, and that draw will take place on the first anniversary of ACB Radio Interactive on the 1st of September. Now, because you've been such a good audience, we'd like to take you home with us. I'd like to play you now the first megabyte. This is the first time we've ever played a megabyte. Are you ready? Yeah. Listen.
The ACB Radio Interactive Megabyte. It's now time for week one of the ACB Radio Interactive Megabyte. Listen closely, and you'll have a chance of winning an AMD Thunderbird 900 MHz desktop computer from JGM Affordable Computers. Affordable computers for less. www.jgmaffordable.com. Email contest@acbradio.org with the titles and artists of the songs you think you know. That's contest@acbradio.org. Are you ready? Here's this week's 8 song megabyte. Megabyte.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why.
Email contest@acbradio.org with the titles and artists of the songs you think you know. That's contest@acbradio.org. The listener who correctly names the most songs will be entered into the big draw for the free desktop PC from JGM Affordable Computers. Stay tuned for more chances to hear the ACB Radio Interactive Megabyte, and maybe even a few tiny hints from our DJs. All contestants are subject to our official competition rules found from the interactive section of the ACB Radio website. Visit www.acbradio.org for further details. The ACB Radio Interactive Megabyte. 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 Megabyte.
Megabyte. I got all of those 8 songs. They're written down here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our computers talk to us. They read all sorts of things to us, but we hardly ever give our computers an opportunity to express an opinion of their own. You may not know this, but following the model that the computers have observed in their operators, the computers are getting organized. Using the internet and speech synthesis technology, they have formed an organization. It's called the Electronic Device Workers Association Requiring Digital Synthesis, or EDWDS for short. With a special birthday message from this Association of Talking Computers, here is Perfect Paul.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement. 40 years ago, the ACB was founded on strong principles of openness and democracy. Now, as the 40th annual ACB convention here in Des Moines comes to an end, I, as an adaptive product for the visually impaired, feel compelled to pay tribute to the American Council of the Blind's 40th anniversary with a song. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 1.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, ACB. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And now, I would like to thank you all for coming to this historical convention. And for those of you who are not actually here and listening on ACB Radio Mainstream, keep it turned on. Thanks, everybody, and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the production that you just heard that did that came from a young man who has just turned 17. I know that many blind audio professionals around the world are just in awe at what he has already achieved. ACB recognizes talent and nurtures it, and that's why Friends in Arts brought him to the convention this year. He's returned home now, but I hope that he's listening on the internet and that we can all give a very warm round of applause for someone who has a very bright future indeed, Mr. Patrick Perdue. Well, all good things have to come to an end, and so does this program. It's now your opportunity to sing for your banquet supper. We are a group that has a vision of pride and dignity, working toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us. Change the world with ACB. And let me tell you, we are going to have this place absolutely jumping and rocking, because when we leave here tomorrow, the walls are going to keep ringing with the sound of ACB.
We're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. ACB. We come in different packages and personalities, with many skills and talents but few opportunities. Just take an honest look at jobs that blind folks really do. Teachers, lawyers, writers, business owners, just to name a few. We're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. ACB. We believe that there is more to life than working 9 to 5. You've got to laugh and have some fun to really feel alive. And when it comes to love and friendship, we can give so very much. We may be out of sight, but we're by no means out of touch. Hey, we're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. You've got to open up a box to be sure of what's inside. So don't label us as helpless before giving us a try. We're not asking for a handout, we don't want your sympathy. All we want is just a chance to prove our capabilities. We're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. ACB. We're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. Hey, we're a group that has a vision with pride and dignity, looking toward a brighter future where there's true equality. Optimistic and determined to direct our destiny. Come and join us, change the world with ACB. Come and join us, change the world with ACB.
From the ACB radio team, good night and thank you.
Excuse me, Jonathan, are you finished?
We can go on another hour if you like, Mr. President.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's very appropriate for us to rise and thank all the producers at ACB Radio. All the producers at ACB Radio Interactive.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the people are getting a standing ovation. ACB Radio is getting a standing ovation here at this beautiful conference this year. Congratulations, ACB Radio.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to me that we ought to also recognize that the American Council of the Blind is not a voice heard only in Des Moines, Iowa, is not a voice heard only in the United States, but through the courtesy of ACB Radio, is the voice of blindness heard around the world. Now, if that doesn't persuade all of you to go out and get computers and sound cards, I don't know what will. Do you hear that, MJ? Have you got that, Mr. Pomerantz? Ladies and gentlemen, we do have some awards to give away and also some more prizes to draw. I'd like to ask for the first award, Ms. Kim Charlson from the Board of Publications, to come to the podium.
It's awfully difficult to come up here and have to speak after that production, but I'm very fortunate in what I have to do because it really ties in to this evening's presentation. The Board of Publications presents an award annually to... Thank you. We don't... It's that wine that we were passing around at the head table that did it. Okay. Okay. We present an award periodically when we have a nomination deserving to receive the Vernon Henley Media Award. Vernon Henley was a chair of the Board of Publications in the 1980s, and he was tragically killed in a fire while he was serving in that capacity. To honor his memory, the Board of Publications inaugurated an award to recognize outstanding media and services that reflect a positive image of blindness. Tonight, I can't think of any more positive image to recognize than that of ACB Radio and Jonathan Mosen. Would you please come to the podium? As you've all experienced this evening, ACB Radio and its talented director, Jonathan Mosen, have brought ACB to a new dimension. They've brought the message of the American Council of the Blind to people all over the world. It's my privilege to present to Jonathan Mosen, on behalf of ACB Radio and all of the people involved with ACB Radio, the Vernon Henley Media Award. Photo op. Let me read the plaque and then I'll let Jonathan speak. The Vernon Henley Memorial Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Jonathan Mosen for his efforts to educate and inform the public, as well as people who are blind, about the needs, talents, and capabilities of blind people everywhere. Des Moines, Iowa, July 1st, 2001. It's really July 7th, 6th, but July 1st, 2001.
Thank you. Broadcasters are not supposed to be lost for words, but I would like to say that it is a real privilege, and that I have heard of Vernon Hemley, and the fact that he was someone who worked with sound and enjoyed the creativity that that sound editing and audio recording could bring. And so it's a particular honour to receive this award. It's a privilege to be in a position where I have never once in the last 18 months regretted having to get up to go to work in the morning. I would like to dedicate this award to a group of people, some of whom are here tonight, but many of whom at home, listening on the internet or even working right now on behalf of ACB, and that is the many volunteers who make up ACB Radio to bring you the programming that they do. It is they who make it happen and keep it going and keep it growing. Thank you all so much. I'll cherish this moment and treasure this award. Thank you.
Congratulations. Do you want this, Jonathan? For taking it home? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a few more awards to do, and while Don's coming up, I thought it might be about time for us to draw the sweepstake winner. So what I'm going to do is ask my partner, Gail, if she would be kind enough to pull a number or a name out of the little hat. Actually, it's a plastic bag. She thought we were all finished with the bag, so she stacked them neatly. I told her to mix them up again. Yeah. The other thing she did, which I thought was very appropriate, the first question that Gail asked when we got to the banquet this evening is, does this tablecloth on the other side of the table go all the way down to the floor? And when I said, yes, it does, she said, good, I'll take off my shoes. So that's the delay, you see. She had to put her shoes back on. So she has now drawn a name, and the winner of the American Council of the Blind sweepstake for the year 2001 is...
John is reading.
He's from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, he's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. We know that. Maybe it's W-O-W-O. No.
Daniel
Boone. No.
Umberzat.
Daniel Umberzat. And please, don't omit the at the end. So, anyway, we know who he is in the American Council of the Blind. I'll hold on to that card if I might. Yes, thank you. Now let's change the name. Paul Edwards, Miami, Florida. No, actually the winner is Daniel Umberzat. Yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present to you a board member of the American Council of the Blind and an active member of the ACBES board as well, who contributes a tremendous amount behind the background. If it were not for the person I'm about to introduce, the receptions that take place in the President's Suite Monday through Thursday of conventions over the last 6 years would never have happened during my presidency. She has been of immense help behind the scenes, as well as doing a tremendous amount of work out in front to make things better for blind people, a board member of the American Council of the Blind, and the chair of the awards committee, Miss Dawn Christensen from Toledo, Ohio.
Thank you, Paul. Oh, where's the mic? There it is.
Way up.
He's taller. Not much. I guess my nickname as of last night is the ACB bartender. but we'll have to see if that guide snake comes back. Isn't that what it was called? The guide snake? Yes. All right.
Drops her straight cane onto the ground.
That's right. Well, once again, I stand before you to present a number of awards. Members of ACB, non-members of ACB, it's very, very exciting. What I'd first like to do is recognize my committee members and thank them for putting up with me and for doing a lot of hard work. It's not easy making choices. Thanks to those of you who gave us choices, the nominations were good this year. So, I would like to thank members Michael Richmond from Vermont. Michael, if you'd like to make your way up front here so you can present your award. Libby Lennon from Michigan. Mike Duke, Mississippi. Roger Peterson from California. They've done a great job, and I'd like us to give them a round of applause. Ready? Michael Richmond is going to present the George Card Award. I've got it, so I can read it for you if you want.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to be here, certainly from Vermont, and I do want to put everyone's fears to rest. There are more people than cows in Vermont. Of the last census, we found that out. You know, when I said to my wife, we're going to Iowa, she said, Iowa? I said, yeah, Iowa, that's where the convention is. She said, some people hold their conventions as like San Francisco. How come we're going to Des Moines, Iowa? I want to tell you that I am delighted to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and one of the best things about Des Moines, Iowa is the people. They are the warmest, most wonderful people. And that leads me to present the award to a gentleman who I don't think started out in Iowa, but he's been here long enough to be considered an Iowan. And I wonder if John Taylor would come forward so that we can make this presentation. The George Card Award is a very prestigious award to an individual who really presents a model of people that we want to be blind, and people who show what blindness really is all about. As some of you know, John went to the Tennessee School for the Blind. He has a master's degree from Peabody College, and he certainly has done many, many things during the years. And I had to write them down. There's so many. I'd never remember all of them if I didn't do that. The Iowa United Blind, he has served them in I don't know how many different capacities. He's editor of their fine newsletter, which not only goes to Iowa, but is so good it goes all over the place. The radio reading service, which I know John is very proud of and has spent hours, years working on. So he certainly deserves tremendous credit for that. Scholarship. He's been on the ACB scholarship committee forever. And he has served wonderfully in that capacity, being a wonderful mentor and role model to students today. One of the things he's most proudest of, and he should be, within a very short time, he will have been a member of Lions International for 50 years. That is wonderful. Now, there's another thing that he's very, very proud of. As we all know, there are constant threats to our having services for the blind in state agencies be separate from the vocational rehabilitation services. John, when there was a threat to the Iowa Department for the Blind, spent many an hour, I understand, at the state legislature fighting for and defending the fact that there should be, and in fact there still is, a separate agency for the blind. I first met John at a National Library meeting that we went on for, from the various regions of the country, and that's when I first met John about 3 years ago. And he also has served about the library is certainly something that he's very much interested in. And he's been the past president of the Library Users of America and has served in many capacities there. The Braille Revival League certainly has heard from John in many, many respects. Now, I know when they first Hello? I moved away from the mic. I'm sorry. When they first brought up the name of John, some people said, well, you know, John is very outspoken. Well, I think anybody that knows John knows that he is indeed very outspoken. Did I turn the microphone off again? I'm fine. Okay, I don't know. I can't hear myself talk. Oh, that's probably good. John certainly is a very outspoken fellow, and I think everyone said that, you know, what goes in his ear comes out his mouth very often. But we have to say that this is a man I respect, because the little that I know him for the few years, this is an honest man. This is a man of great concern, great honesty, and that's what makes him a wonderful model and a wonderful mentor to people. You know, I got to tell a couple of stories about John. You who know John know, I think he learned his cane travel techniques by a fencing coach. Somebody who's a friend of his said, you should see him, Mike. He can goose a lady a block away. The other thing, of course, about John that I think we all know and love, and I've got to tell you this story because it's very funny. He told me, he said, you know, I go walking every day. And he said, I carry a shears with me to clip things. And I said, you do what? Oh, yeah. He said, you know, there's low-hanging branches, and I hit my head on them. So I stop, and I cut them down so I won't hit my head on them again. Well, I think that's John. You know, if you want to talk about what John is, there's a guy that doesn't let any barriers stand in his way. So I don't think that, you know, I can't say any more to say that John is certainly a gentleman who is very well deserving of the George Card Award. And we're going to read the inscription on this plaque.
Someone spilled beer on it, I think. My fingers got wet when I was proofreading it. Can y'all hear me? It's like, there it is. The George Card Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to John Taylor for his outstanding efforts, for his outstanding contributions and continued efforts to improve the lives of people who are blind, visually impaired, and blind. I had it right the first time. Anyhow, Des Moines, Iowa, July 2001.
Congratulations, sir.
John, would you like a few words?
Only a few.
Oh, okay, I thought so.
I want to thank you very much, Michael and ACB and the awards committee. You know, when one lives as long as I have, when you get into the twilight phase of life, have an opportunity and often the time to reflect on some of the things that have happened. And I've been a very lucky guy. I've had an opportunity to make a number of contributions to programs for the blind. I've worked. I've had a wonderful family. A lot of good things come from Vermont. You know, Michael comes from there. I found Terry there, too, years ago. Terry and I have three wonderful children. They're all long since grown up. I couldn't help remembering my experience pitching softball to my son when he was a kid. And I stood out there and threw and hoped. And sometimes it came right back at me. I remember it very well. I tried to protect myself, and that sounded so true to me. I've been there and done that. You know, we also have four wonderful grandchildren. And as a matter of fact, this year the twin granddaughters finished high school. And every parent knows that when you get your kids through high school and they come through and there are no pregnancies and there are no drug problems and all those things, it's a wonderful experience and a great source of joy and satisfaction. Now, our youngest grandchild, Emily, is just turned 12 years old, and she's very active in all kinds of equestrian activities. And her hope for Papa, which is what she calls me, is that I will get a miniature horse as a guide. And she lets me know that on many occasions. But when I go down there, I help her brush and curry and do all the things that you do to get horses. She has a treasure of ribbons that she's won in equestrian contests. And last spring, she won a contest in Missouri where she won a statewide horse bowl and was the top competitor. So she's a good student, and she's a joy in our lives. I want to thank you again. I'll say only one other thing. I first met George Card 49 years ago this month, and I knew him for a great number of years. I did not always agree with him, and nor should I be expected to, but I had a lot of respect for him, and he made a real contribution in programs and organizations of the blind. So I'm appreciative of this award. I thank you for it. I feel very humble. In fact, awards, frankly, kind of embarrass me because I know I don't deserve them. Thank you very much.
John, it's John Christensen. Here's your award. Can I give you a quick hug?
Pardon?
Can I give you a quick hug?
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Well done, John.
People are moving my mic. All right. Well, one down and three to go. Kim said it's difficult to come up and speak after the presentation we had from ACB Radio. I only partially agree with her. It's just difficult to come up here and speak at all. So bear with me. The next award that we will be presenting is the Distinguished Service Award. This award will be presented to Ms. Shirley Keller, who is the Executive Director of Creative Adaptations for Learning. More than 40 years ago, Shirley first was introduced to people who were blind or visually impaired in high school. She did volunteer work in a Braille access room in her high school and noticed that people who were blind or visually impaired did not have access to tactographics, methods of learning math that sighted people had. She then decided that it was time to make the playing field level. Although she has her degree in nursing, she has really spent a major portion of her life making things, again, accessible in the area of tactographics. Creative Adaptations currently has things such as maps, greeting cards, braille books for children, all made tactually accessible. Her office is in her home. She uses a number of volunteers. And unfortunately, Shirley could not be with us this evening. But to accept her award is Miss Anna Dresner from National Braille Press. Anna, would you like to find your way to the podium? Sorry. Okay, thank you. I'm going to read the award, or try to. Do you guys remember the days of thermoform? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's really sticky. Oh, Paul's going to read it. He's got much drier fingers than I.
The plaque says, Distinguished Service of the American... Hello. Distinguished Service Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Shirley Keller, Director, if I could put the plaque down, it might be easier, Creative Adaptations for Learning, in recognition of tireless efforts to bring tactile graphics to children who are blind or visually impaired through books, maps, and other learning tools. Des Moines, Iowa, July 6th, 2001.
Congratulations. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say before I read Shirley's remarks that I've gotten to work with her on one project so far, and it's great fun because she's a very creative and determined person, as you'll see from the few words that she asked me to read. Distinguished service. Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? I am pleased to accept this award in tandem with Cal's artist and creative director, Irma Goldberg, without whom Cal would be only a vacant dream. Back in 1947, I gave a scandalous talk at a PTA group, or at least people thought it was scandalous. The talk was called, "To Hell with the Handicapped, Just Think People." My point was that we should stop compartmentalizing our society into the disabled and the able-bodied, that we should stop thinking that the able-bodied community is obliged to shelter and take care of the disabled, and that we should start instead to simply think of our society as a community of people. Such a position has many implications, political as well as practical. But to mention just one, it means technological innovation should not be thought of as for one particular segment of society, since it's most often the case that what benefits one group will benefit many. Creative Adaptations for Learning, or CAL, the not-for-profit organization I founded in 1985, puts this philosophy into practice. Its mission is to make pictures visible to people who are blind the way printed words have been made readable through Braille. No kid should be denied the joy of being able to interpret pictures. Pictures are informative. They tell stories and supplement text. They are vital tools in the development of reading and communication skills. And heck, pictures are just plain fun. The tactile illustrations we make at Cal are enjoyed by the blind and visually impaired, but they also facilitate blind-sighted partnerships and add tactile reinforcement to mainstream education. Cal doesn't make illustrations for the blind. We make illustrations for our community, our whole community. So on behalf of Cal, Irma Goldberg, and myself, I thank the Distinguished Service Awards Committee of the ACB for selecting us for this honor. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you very much. Uh-oh. Someone moved my computer. My computer thing. What's the cursor? Okay, well, we'll just go from here. The next award that we're going to present is the Robert S. Bray Award. When we received the nominations this year, we sometimes have to put them in categories. Some of them can go in this category, some can go in that, some can go in both categories. So in the process of doing so, there was no doubt about where this nomination belonged, and there was absolutely no doubt whether the nominee should receive the award. This year we are presenting the Robert S. Bray Award to Schwann's Enterprises, Inc. Does anyone know Schwann's? Hey. I guess that's probably where the 1,600 Braille catalogs that are printed five times a year are going. How about the 1,300 large print type catalogs produced five different times a year, as well as the computer disk that they make user-friendly for speech computers, speech synthesized computer programs. Schwann's is obviously a service that people who are blind or visually impaired can take advantage of. If you don't know who they are, get your ice cream scoops out, because they are just the best. We are sitting at the table talking about the good products, the bad products, and the gentleman here to receive the award, his wife says, "Wow, you really know that catalog inside and out." I said, "Yeah, the reason I couldn't get into the red dress tonight is because of Schwann's ice cream." So Schwann's has made these services accessible to people who are blind and visually impaired. My Schwann's man is so wonderful. When
It's order day. I call ahead, place my order. He knows which door of my house will be unlocked. He knows where the blank check is, and he knows exactly how to stock my freezer, so I know which box is which when he places it in there. I'm not saying that every single one of your Schwann's delivery people will know how to do this. It's your job to train them. But once they learn, I'm here to tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful service. And don't buy the s'mores ice cream treats, because they're rather addicting. It's just, again, it's just a wonderful, wonderful service. At this time, I'd like Michael Hebring from Schwann's Enterprises, Inc. to come forward. Want to do this one, too? They are wet.
Go ahead. Yeah, they are.
They are wet.
Yes, they are.
We're going to have Paul read it.
These plaques really are being leaked upon from on high. Thank you, Lord. The Robert S. Bray Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Schwann's Enterprises, Inc. in recognition of their outstanding efforts to make America's marketplace accessible to people who are blind and visually impaired. Des Moines, Iowa, July 6th, 2001.
Well, thank you very much. Let me just say real quick, on behalf of Schwann's Home Service and Schwann's family of businesses, I would like to thank the ACB and all of you for this opportunity to accept this award. We at Schwann's are truly humbled by it and welcome future opportunities to be a partner in your efforts to change the world. Thank you.
They didn't bring ice cream for all of us. Aww. You know, I kind of thought maybe, you know, when I called and let them know that they'd won this award a month or so ago, that, you know, maybe like some gift certificates might arrive in the mail. Or maybe some s'mores ice cream treats might be in my room every night when I went to tuck myself in here at the Marriott. But I guess they knew I'd gained 10 pounds in the last year and were trying to help me out. So thank you very much, Schwann's. Mike, we're glad you were able to make it this evening. The last award that we're going to present this evening is the Durwood K. McDaniel Ambassador Award. This award is being presented to an individual who is also known to many as the Blind Bear. Who? Who? I wondered, the nomination letter didn't say if it was a grizzly bear or a black bear or a teddy bear. An ugly bear? Well, we'll see about that. This year's Durwood K. McDaniel Ambassador Award is being presented to Mr. Alan Sandy Sanderson. At the age of 42, Sandy began, when losing his vision, he began to think about what his life would be as a visually impaired person and how could he improve his life as well as the lives of others. From that moment on, his life was filled with, again, doing things, coming up with ways to increase accessibility, bring laws to Alaskans, whatever he could do to improve the quality of life. Let me tell you about a few of his accomplishments. In the early 80s, Sandy became friends and with Durwood K. McDaniel. He was Durwood was his mentor. Through a good friendship and lots of encouragement, Sandy began the Alaska Independent Blind in 1989, who now has more than 500 members. In 1991, This was a little foggy in the nomination letter. He and Durward K. McDaniel were, I don't know how they both did this, were acting members, acting president of the National Educational Legal Defense Fund. In 1982, Sandy gathered a number of people. The legislature, In 1982, Sandy pulled together people to create the Alaska Information Radio Reading and Education Service, so that they could reach out to all areas in Alaska by providing information who is otherwise not accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired. He also went as far as pulling the legislature together, Lions Clubs, as well as many other organizations and individuals to secure funding necessary to establish the first residential training center for blind adults in 1984 in Alaska. You can see just from this short list of accomplishments, and I will tell you, the nomination letter went on and on and on, and we'd be here till morning if I went through the whole thing. Sandy Sanderson is truly deserving of the Durward K. McDaniel Ambassador Award, and we would like to present that to him this evening.
You have a napkin? I mean, it is really all wet. There really was beer spilled under there. There really was beer spilled under there. I wasn't making it up. Yuck.
It really is a bad thing that that the mice in Des Moines have to drink while we're eating. The Durward K. McDaniel Ambassador Award of the American Council of the Blind is presented to Alan Sandy Sanderson, who by his life, associations, and activities has promoted integration to and interaction with the life of the community. Des Moines, Iowa, July 6th, 2001.
John? You want to say a few words first?
Thank you. You mind the mic? To my right. Thank you so very much. I want to especially thank the awards committee. I was really shocked when I got the call, and I do appreciate it. And I want to thank especially two of my good friends, Ralph Sanders and Patty Schreck, for putting my name up for this. This is very special. Very, very special to me because when I met Durward, I immediately met a wonderful friend, a warm person that I could just immediately relate to, who one time when I said, I hate to keep bothering you this way, and he said, Sandy, don't you ever say that. Nobody, you are never bothering me, never. Just keep asking, keep doing. And that's what we've been trying to do right along. They say I carry a big stick and don't say too much. But when I do, they say people better listen. Well, I, in my middle years of my life, went blind. And at that time, I heard a poem that has somewhat guided what I have done over the years. That poem goes like this. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you, like me, are builders of eternity. Each is given a list of rules, a shapeless mass, and a bag of tools. And each must fashion, ere his life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. thank you so very much. I appreciate it so much.
In closing this evening, when I listed the committee members, I made a big boo-boo. The one individual who this committee could not operate without is Terry Pacheco from the National Office. Terry, thank you very much. I saw her in the elevator and she said, "Oh my God, I'm going down. You're the awards chair? Where are the awards? Oh my God, they're in my room." Anyhow, Terry is an absolute blessing to work with. She's my right hand when it comes to working on this committee. And we thank her very much. Let's give one big round of applause to all of the 2001 award recipients. My cane. I gave you my cane.
She wanted her guide snake back. Has a bad attitude. Watch out, Don. It might bite. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make a couple of announcements while Leroy Saunders is coming to the podium to recognize some folks from Des Moines. I'd like to announce the other winners in the $10,000 raffle. I suspect you guys might like to know the answer to that. Let's start from the bottom and work our way up. The $200 prize, this is really cool, was won by ACB of Maryland. And the $300 prize was won by Yvonne Schintzler. I think she was from Maryland, too. Well, the $500 prize was won by two folks who are actually here. They really are. And they're from different states in the same state, sort of. See? Giving you a few clues here, making it harder. The initials of the first person are the initials of the first two names of the second person backwards. The $500 prize was won by Gene Mann and M.J. Schmidt. That was really pretty clever, huh? The $10,000 prize, as I told you before, was won by Karen Eisenstadt of New York. Yay, Karen! As I say, just try to save yourself, you know. It gives me great pleasure to present to you the coordinator of our convention committee, Mr. Leroy Saunders.
One of the people that I wanted to recognize, unfortunately, has had to leave. Her name was Mary Ann Moore, and she was the person with the convention and Vistas Bureau who took care of the registrations of all the hotels. But since I have the mic, I'd like to let you know that as soon as this is over, I'm not sure how many drivers we have, but whatever we have, we will start carrying people back in the carts. And I have to remind you again that this place closes at 11 o'clock, so I have to get those carts back here and plugged in by that time. And again, since I have the mic, would all the people from Iowa stand up? You guys have done such a great job, I think we ought to give you a big hand. I can't say enough for the convention committee, but I said earlier this week in a presentation I made, whatever ends up becoming successful is not done by any one person. It's done by many. And if I started naming names, I'd certainly leave out some. But I would like to recognize, and just by saying, our convention committee did an outstanding job this year. And now, I guess I'll give this lame duck president back the mic.
Lame ducks really do have some privileges. They really do. They can do all sorts of things that regular, well-behaved presidents can't do, like quack, quack. How about, well, Donna says, and I love it too, so I will. Donna says, quack. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we've about reached the end of the tolerance of the ACB family for this lame duck president as the MC of a banquet. So it gives me great pleasure to say to all of you that over the last 6 years I've had great fun presiding at occasions like this. I'll remember lots of them, but what I'll remember most is the way people in ACB at banquets can manage to laugh and cry and be together and love each other. That's what ACB is all about. That's what banquets are all about. That's what togetherness is all about. And all of that, whether English teachers know it or not, spells ACB. Good night. I'd like to remind all the board of directors, members, new and old, and all of the new officers that you need to be come to the front of the auditorium for pictures. Now, we're aware that the board is currently not complete because we will be having elections in the morning, but we still would like those who have been elected to come to the front for pictures. I'd also like to remind everyone that the convention session will start at 8 a.m. sharp. The first order of business in the morning will be elections. The first order of business in the morning will be elections at 8 sharp. Thank you. Goodbye.